A billion years ago, there was nothing but space. Then one of God's wet farts blew all the planets in place. There were no signs of life on Mars or Venus, but planet Earth was blessed with two baby geniuses. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, tell us something we don't know.
Hello, babies.
Welcome to Baby Geniuses. I'm Emily.
I'm Lisa.
Thank you for listening to
our show.
What's up, y'all?
Yo. Oh, that LaCroix.
Yeah, getting into it.
Mm-hmm. My brother's girlfriend gave me a LaCroix baseball cap for my birthday, and I wear it a lot. And now people just like think I'm a brand ambassador because I'm always drinking LaCroix and wearing this hat. But I like it. It's pink. It's great.
We have so much at our house right now, and I'm really happy about it. Let's talk about the Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah.
Because this was the thing you wanted to do on your birthday, and you forgot.
I forgot, and but then I really wanted to watch it because I hadn't seen it since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And so me and Adam watched it, and I really liked it. I think it held up pretty well. It's a really weird movie.
It's a really weird movie. A body horror movie.
It's a body horror, definitely. The parts where he's transforming are really strange to me and like sort of mortifying. Like the part where he like walks into the meeting and everyone's just like, you look crazy.
Because he's like doubled in size.
Yeah. It's crazy.
What were there things about it that you didn't remember?
Yeah, I didn't remember that elf character that you said was hot.
He is David Krumholtz.
Yeah, several people have said like, oh yeah, I had a crush on that elf. Like, yeah, that makes sense. He's kind of like no nonsense and manly. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't remember like how much it fit into that genre of movies that like Mrs. Doubtfire and Hook also fit into, where it's like a man who's like sort of trying to win back over the love of his children, and he's having like kind of marital problems. There was like a lot of divorce.
There was a lot of divorce in the 90s.
Yeah.
Dads, and like Liar Liar was another one.
Yeah. And they have to transform in order to get their kids back. So like,
yes,
like Peter Bannon has to become Peter Pan, and Mrs. Doubtfire, like he has to become his nanny.
Doubtfire,
and like,
yeah,
this one, he has to become Santa Claus. It's like very frustrating. I didn't remember how much of the movie is a little kid trying to convince his mom and his stepdad that Santa Claus exists, and them being like horrified by this. And you sympathize with them now. You're like, yeah, they would eventually probably contact a lawyer about it. Like, yeah, it's disturbing.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for the moms in these movies. They're always shown as
Shown as evil for like not wanting to put up with a man's egregious bullshit.
Yeah, and just sort of shrill and like, be careful, come back, like, and they're just not doing anything fun at all.
I will say, when I rewatched Mrs. Doubtfire, I was like totally siding with the mom way more, and I was like, as a kid I didn't, but as an adult I do.
Absolutely.
And not even like, I didn't even feel like she was being shown as a bitch. It was just like my perspective had changed.
Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, she doesn't want like a petting zoo in her fucking house.
Yeah. And she's
talking. As a surprise that she wasn't even looped in on. Like, come on.
And she gives like a real, like when Mrs. Doubtfire is asking her about like why her marriage fell apart, mm-hmm, and like whether it could have been saved, she was like, no, like, things were bad for a while and we weren't communicating and I have needs that weren't being met and I tried really hard and he didn't. And you're like, oh.
I feel like the screenwriters tried to humanize the women characters in these movies, but it still comes across as like the dads are fun and the moms are not.
Yeah.
They're practical and like they have to be because they're moms.
So what about that elf who's like, you're a little young for me, but it's a child.
I hated that part. I hated it so much. I hate Tim Allen so much. I think, I find the movie vaguely erotic, and I think it would be even more so if like a actual sexy person played the Santa Claus.
Yes.
Like, I'm like, Greg Kinnear or like just someone hot. What if Harrison Ford was the Santa Claus? That would be so strange.
I would not be into that.
I don't think it would work.
I don't think he is possible of having eyes that twinkle.
He's kind of twinkly though.
Yeah.
Well, he was back when I had a crush on him. He's one of my early crushes.
I think it would be cool if it was Liam Neeson and he was also still hunting down whoever kidnapped his daughter while he was also delivering presents.
I would watch that.
Just like an incredibly gruff Santa Claus.
I really don't like Tim Allen.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Well, I mean, yes, he's terrible.
He's terrible, but he's not, I don't find him very sexy or charming in this. He's just kind of gross.
And you expect a Santa Claus to be very sexy.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't really have a thing for Santa specifically, but I think I, you know, a big beardy fella. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a way to make that hot.
Hell yeah.
What else was I going to ask you about? Oh, I was like, maybe I should save this for Chench Chat. I filled out a survey online. And as a result, I got like a $1 subscription to a bunch of magazines.
Uh-huh.
That like, if I don't cancel it by a certain time, they're going to charge me the full price. But I put it in my calendar to cancel it. So uh-huh. I'm not going to. So I've been getting Martha Stewart Living.
Oh.
Yeah. So fuck, I should have brought you some magazines if you want some. I've got a bunch of them.
That's a good magazine.
Yeah.
It makes me sad how magazines are getting thinner and thinner. But
yeah, there's like three pages and it's all recipes.
Yeah. But she's got some good shit in there.
Yeah. I'm excited to have it.
Yeah.
It makes me want to be more of a wife.
Did you say more of a wife?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Just like making things and like,
yeah,
we have a pressure cooker we still haven't used, or an Instant Pot, whatever.
Ooh, I thought of a one on fun question.
Oh, good.
I'll ask it later.
All right. Oh, now I can't wait to hear what it is. We've been thinking about getting a dog. So I've been following all of these dog rescue Instagrams too.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, I mean, it's great. I follow every dog rescue Instagram. It'll make you want to get a bunch of dogs. But there's one that I followed that where I was like, I might have to unfollow this dog rescue Instagram because it's like too problematic.
Really? Why?
Yeah, because they keep using civil rights slogans to try and get people to adopt dogs. And I find it really fucked up.
No.
And I'm like, I still want to see pictures of these dogs.
What kind of?
But I can't stand these captions. I'm going to. Well, OK, they keep hashtagging things like Pit Bull Lives Matter, which I'm like, that's not OK.
Don't do that.
They haven't done that in a while. But then like last week, they posted a text photo. So it's like not a photo. It's just like a text picture that it says in quotes, I have a dream. And then below it, that one day the pit bull bull terrier will not be judged by the name of its breed, but by the content of their character.
Oh, boy.
I'm like, I should unfollow these people, right? And here's the thing. There are 21 comments on this picture and fucking no one has been like, hey, this is kind of messed up.
Yeah.
That this is like not what the I have a dream speech was about.
There's a certain form of animal rights activism that I just don't quite click with.
Same.
And I can't talk too much about it because I feel like they'll get really mad at me.
Yeah, it's like the last people I ever want to talk to on the internet, so I don't want to like bring it up. But yeah,
there is a, I mean, yeah, it's weird. It's strange in a way that it's legal to just sort of put down an animal in a way that it's not with people at all.
That's the thing, is I'm like, I don't think it should be illegal to put down animals. I think it should be legal for people to be put down. Why is it?
Yeah.
Why is assisted suicide not legal? That makes me insane.
I agree. And there's a lot of animals that you can't do much for. Like they're, yeah.
Anyway,
it's rough. Oh man.
Oh, we just opened a whole can of worms.
Please don't yell at me.
Please don't yell at us. I haven't thought about this enough to really get into a conversation about it.
I won't really respond if people yell at me anyways.
I have a Craigslist story, I guess.
Ooh.
Is it a Craigslist story? I don't know. I found it. I bought Peter a birthday present off of Facebook Marketplace, which is basically Craigslist, but on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And the guy gave me an address to come look at it, and it was a city I'd like never heard of.
What city?
It was like half an hour away of Kudahy. C-U-D-A-H-Y. I'm like, how no have idea. I never read this word before.
And I've driven far for a thing. So that's weird.
And I looked it up on like Google Street View to see like, where am I going? And it's just like a warehouse. And I was like, oh, I'm about to get murdered.
Yeah.
So I brought someone with me and we got there.
To
and
also
I
was get like, murdered.
To also get murdered. Yes.
They have a whole warehouse full of bad guys.
Well, I was like, this could be really bad. And then when we got there, and it was like such a sketchy situation because I was like, the message was kind of weird. Mm-hmm. And like, I was like, I don't know if this is legit or not. But then we got there and it was like amazing. It was like, I was buying him like an Eames chair, like a fake Eames. And
Those always come from a weird ass warehouse.
Come from a weird ass warehouse. And I got there and it was like, the reason why it was in a warehouse was because he had like a big ass warehouse full of like really cool mid-century modern furniture and like sculptures of like sharks and shit.
What?
And like,
I want to go.
Yeah. I'm like, I really want to go back there. I could have spent a long time there, but there's no air conditioning.
Oh shit. I'll go with you. How long did it take to get there?
Like 35 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it like out east?
I don't like, know. Can you? Yes, it's east.
So you could like go to a good restaurant on the way back into town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I guess that's not really a Craigslist story.
Yeah, that sounds great. I want to go.
Yeah, that's good.
We like bought a discount like steel case chair off Craigslist.
Oh,
and it was just a guy who like, it was like kind of hard to contact him and he was a little shifty. And then he just showed up with a truck and he had a bunch of these chairs like on the back of his truck. It was just so strange.
It's such a weird business.
Yeah. Did Peter like his gift?
He loved it.
Yeah.
And it was like, I brought it back in my car and I was like, I got it like a week before his actual birthday. Cause mm-hmm. I was like, I've been searching for one for a while. And
is it
I was
one
like,
of those Eames like armchairs? Like,
yeah, oh, like a lounger.
Those are sick.
With an ottoman.
Those
and,
are so good.
Yeah. And, I was like, he'd wanted one for a while and I had been like trying to find one that was like in good enough condition.
Yeah.
That was like also not crazy expensive. Mm-hmm. And, I brought it back and I was like, you know, I got it like a week early because I was like, wanted to give myself time in case that one didn't work out to get another one. And, I brought it back and I was like, how the fuck am I going to hide this from him?
Yeah.
What am I going to do? And I was like, maybe I'll hide it in the garage.
Oh yeah.
And so I went out to the garage and I like opened the door really wide. And I also got a new hammock that I can only bring into the garage if I open the garage door and not just like the side door.
Mm-hmm.
And I opened the garage door all the way and I broke it.
Oh no.
And
you broke the garage door?
I broke the garage door. I don't know what happened, but it was I stood there for like half an hour trying to fix it. And I started having like almost like an anxiety attack because I had my arms over my head for so long. And I was like, I'm injuring myself, but I don't know what to do because I can't just like leave this open all night. And I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm like, I was like freaking out. And then I like went in the house and I like was like crying. And I was like, Peter, I need help with the garage door. And it's all fucked up. And like, blah, blah.
Where was the chair this whole time?
In my car. And Peter hadn't seen it yet. And I was like, you know, so then he came out and we like kind of got the door closed, but in a way where I'm like, I didn't want to risk like opening it again.
Yeah.
And then I realized, I was like, I just have to tell Peter that his presence in my car. Because I also couldn't really carry it by myself, too. So I basically just like had him help me pull a chair out of the back of my car in our driveway. And he was really happy about it.
He
was like, I know exactly what this is.
Did you get was it a black one?
No, it's like a brown one.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. It's like,
classy
Naga hide or something. I don't know. I'll show you a picture of it. It's pretty good.
I love a classy chair. We got a cool email
A
crazy email about
crazy sexy cool.
Crazy sexy cool about the TV show Friends. That sounded kind of like half Friends and half Seinfeld.
I've been watching a lot of both.
I just learned that, so you know how it costs a ton of money to like license songs for things?
Uh-huh.
To not just license the Seinfeld song, but to even mock up a facsimile, like a one that sounds kind of just
like
it.
Sound-alike.
Yeah, costs $20,000.
What?
Yeah,
you got to be able to beat those prices
to not even get the actual thing.
Is that money going toward whoever's doing the sound alike, or is it going toward the actual song?
The actual song. It's like, because if you mock up something that sounds too much like the real thing, then you can be sued. So you still have to pay.
You still have to pay them.
I guess I don't really understand how it works, but $20,000.
That's wild.
That's so much. So I'm not going to read this whole email because it's crazy long, but it's so fucking weird. So this person, when they were 11 in 2006, there was like a MySpace sort of website called Quizilla, and they found a quiz called How Well Do You Know Friends? And they'd never heard of the show before, and they thought that the quiz was posted by a stranger made specifically for her to test her knowledge about her friends in real life. She's just like really confused. And none of the questions made any sense to her because she didn't know anyone with those names of the main characters. But she took it and she just kind of clicked through blindly. And then she got the result. You're a Friends freak. Because she did really well on the quiz just by accident.
Which is so crazy. Because also part of the way taking that quiz, aren't you like, who is Ross?
Yeah. I don't understand why she continued to think it was related to her. So somehow she'd serendipitously chosen every correct answer, gotten the highest possible score. And then the next day, her friends confronted her, insisting that she cheated. And they neglected to mention that Friends with a TV show. And they kept asking questions like, you've never seen Friends, or you don't really know Friends, and we know Friends better than you. And they were like so confused.
They were like mad that she might have cheated on a Friends quiz.
Yeah. So they had a falling out with these friends because they were convinced that they were a cheat. Then they moved up to seventh grade, and then a new girl moved into the school district and they became acquainted. And then she was like, oh my God, she added her on Quizilla and saw her results. And she was like, that quiz you took, I can't believe it. Someone my age who likes Friends, you like Friends as much as I do. And they were just completely exasperated and flabbergasted because of course they love and like Friends. They're friends in real life. I can't believe they still at this point don't know that it's a show. So they were happy to see the result of that quiz somehow brought them closer to this new friend. The new girl invited to her.
I think we should just read this as it's written, this part.
Yeah.
So this new girl invited me to her home for a friend's night. We should have a sleepover and plan a friend's night. We can hang out and order pizza and have plenty of friends to keep us occupied. I have no idea how this charade kept up for so long. It had been nearly a year now, and still no one ever mentioned Friends was a TV show. And every time someone spoke to me about the show, they were just ambiguous enough that I never caught on. When I talked to my mom about it, she never caught on either and just figured I was having trouble adjusting because we had just moved to a new state and using social media was a relatively new concept. I just thought this girl was planning a big party and wanted me to come. I was even nervous because she mentioned that Ross was her favorite and I had never been to a party with boys before.
Did she not remember that Ross was like in the questions of the quiz?
Probably not.
When I got there, it was plainly obvious that we would be the only ones here. She finally put the mystery to rest when she showed me her DVD box set collection of every season of Friends. And I stayed at her house for literally a week, binging it with her. Every time we got to the last day I was supposed to stay, I would call my mom and we would beg for me to stay just a little longer. I don't think we made it through every season, but to this day, the only time I've ever watched Friends was during this 1 week.
What?
So they never watched it again? Also, like, how did they keep up the charade of like having seen it before when they were watching? I mean, I guess
I wonder how that played out.
I know.
I bet she doesn't really remember.
Now most of the podcasters I listen to at least reference Friends, and I kind of want to watch it again, but I'm pretty sure I'd be emotionally teleported to the apartment building in 2007 where I finally learned what the fuck everyone was talking about. Anyway, at the end, I hope you enjoyed that roller coaster.
Oh, wild.
I just assume this is a female, but I guess they didn't specify, but
yeah.
Oh, well,
really good.
So good.
Oh, we also asked on Twitter for people to, if they had questions they wanted us to answer.
Oh, did we get any?
We got a few.
Some I don't know how to answer.
Yeah. Someone said, I have to go to Nairobi and Kigali for work for 2 weeks. What do I pack? And I'm worried also about regularity in my travels. So any tips there would be top.
I could also use advice for regularity in my travels.
Yeah, I could use advice for regularity in my home life.
Yes. We're talking about poop, right?
We're talking about poop.
Yeah.
We're always talking about poop.
Always, every time that we talk. I don't know. I've never been to Nairobi.
Look at the weather report. Read a travel guide.
Pack light.
Bring your favorite medicines.
Yeah.
Excedrin is one of mine.
Yeah, it's really hard to find the medicine you like in a foreign country like that.
Also, when you're traveling, you never know if you're going to have time to stop at like a place to buy medicine in time to like stave off a headache or whatever it is that's going on.
When I went to India, I was really glad that I brought like a lot of medicine with me, even though I thought I was overdoing it, because when I saw the pharmacies there, they were just kind of insane. Like I wouldn't have known how to find anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I gave some travel tips on a previous episode just for how to pack.
Yeah. Those were good tips.
So you should check that out.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't know.
I don't know.
You're going for work. Other people at your work should maybe have some ideas.
One person asked, how do I get a couch I want to buy off Craigslist to my apartment when I live in Brooklyn and don't have a car? You can hire a person with a car.
Hire a person with a car.
Also off Craigslist.
Off Craigslist or TaskRabbit.
Yeah.
TaskRabbit, because they're vetted.
TaskRabbit's great.
Yeah. And it's less expensive than you think.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because they're just paid hourly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pay more money. to solve your problems.
Uh-huh. Unless you're trying to get like a free couch for completely free, in which case that's not going to happen.
Yeah. That would be dangerous.
Someone else said, what's the best way to encourage friends to visit your cabin in the woods? I like hosting people and I've got ample accommodations, but guests are few and far between. Ooh.
Cook a bunch of cookies and candy and lure children.
Yeah, this sounds like a witch.
Yeah. Are you a witch? Be honest now. You're a witch.
Yeah.
I think that's hard. It's a long ass drive to the woods and people don't want to take that much time off sometimes.
Yeah, you got to make it like a...
Do you have a hot tub?
That would help.
Get a hot tub.
And have like... very clear like plans and instructions for how they can get there easily and what you'll do and get a group together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Invite them all for a specific weekend too. Be like, this weekend, 3 months from now, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
So come. Cause otherwise people have trouble like deciding when they're going to do a thing. If it's just an open-ended invitation.
Yeah. I also, it's like committing to something far enough in advance makes me feel like I don't really have to do it. And then when it comes up, it's like, oh, well, I can't cancel now.
Yeah.
That's how I get trapped into doing things.
Yeah.
Because if you ask me to do something tomorrow, I'm like, fuck no.
Yeah. If you want people to visit like every weekend, then you shouldn't live in the woods. Right? If you want to see.
Wow, that was harsh.
Isn't it? If you want to see people all the time, I mean, that's a problem with the woods.
That's true. That's where animals live.
Get a city house. So rude.
Yeah.
Rude, but true.
I bet you can get some people out there.
Yeah. I want to come. Where are you?
Yeah. Is cool. It time? I think those are all the questions. No one else asked anything.
Yeah. It's time for Chunce Chat.
Our regular segment where we talk about any news in the world of Martha Stewart's pony, Ben Chunce. Chunce. When the clock strikes noon, we could have a picnic
lunch, fine wine, full moon, and we're chatting about Chunce. Ben Chunce. So there's no new Ben Chunce news today. We had a good one last time.
Aren't you satisfied?
Oh, feels good.
Yeah.
But the queen has a Shetland pony.
Ooh.
Named Cruachan IV, and which kind of sounds like a Ben Chunce style name.
Yeah.
Cruachan.
Got some similar consonants.
And this pony is like her nemesis. They've had several run-ins. And
it's, who's nemesis? The queen's nemesis? Queens. The queen has a pony who is her nemesis?
It's like part of her, like, you know, kind of the royal... They always have like a Shetland pony.
She's like, it's the rules. I have to have a Shetland pony and I don't actually want to.
It kind of seems like they have to. And it's always wearing like kind of a special blanket at events and stuff. But this pony is so naughty. And you should look it up because there's funny videos of every time it's been naughty. So the first time it tried to eat some flowers she was holding and she said, go away. And then the second encounter, it tried to bite Prince Harry. It's like the funniest video. He's walking with Meghan Markle and like he tries to pet the pony because it's so fucking cute. It's the cutest little pony. And then it just snaps at him. It tries to bite him.
Oh my God.
And he pulls his hand away real fast. And then most recently, the pony took a big shit in front of the queen. And she held her nose as she walked away, muttering, here we are again.
is this pony fucking Morrissey or something? Like, no one hates the royal family more than Morrissey and this pony.
This pony is so fucking punk and I love it. I also like that the Queen and Martha Stewart had the same taste in horses, all black and Shetland ponies and fell ponies.
Oh, wow.
Like Ben Chunch. Like the Queen hasn't stopped riding, even though she's in her 90s. But she rides only fell ponies now because they're small and hardy. So it's like it would be kind of hard to fall off one.
Yeah.
So she rides a fell pony named Carlton Lima Emma is her current fell pony, which is almost as weird a name as Ben Chunch. But yeah, it's the same breed as Ben.
Do you watch The Crown?
No, I've always wanted to. It kind of seems like up my alley. Is it good?
Yeah, I think you'd like it.
Are there horses in it?
Yes, I think so.
There has to be.
Wait, am I wrong? Don't quote me on that. I'm sure there are, but I can't think of any off the top of my head.
There are horses in The Crown. Yeah. Emily Heller, 2018.
I had some Ben Chunch news, which is that I'm editing my special right now. And there's like someone in the audience wearing a Ben Chunch shirt.
Yes.
In the front row. So you can see it for like a second.
You can get Ben Chunch shirts in my Threadless shop. Search Threadless, Ben Chunch, Lisa Hannawalt, and you'll find it.
Yeah, that concludes Chunch Chat. It's time for One on Fun.
One on Fun. Emily,
yes.
What's the best thing you've learned so far from the magazine Martha Stewart Living?
Oh.
Any tricks or tips?
Oh, God. I haven't read it that much yet. have I learned anything yet? There was like a soup recipe that I was looking at that involved like you take the shrimp out of the shells and then you use the shells in the broth in a pressure cooker and then you strain them out. And
do
that's
you eat
like,
shrimp?
No, I mean, why do I know that?
Yeah.
I'm not going to use that.
It's a good way to make some stock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, on a related note, I have sea monkeys now.
Oh, fuck. What? just to tide you over till you get a dog?
Uh-huh. I was at my friend's house like a full year ago and she had one of those like sea monkey kits and I was like, can I have this? And she was like, yeah. And
she wasn't going to use it?
No.
They're just brine shrimp.
They're
right?
just brine shrimp. Yeah. Yeah. And so I started the kit last week and they've hatched and there's like 100 of them in there.
Ooh. do they?
And I am probably going to eventually flush them down the toilet.
Animal cruelty. Do they do anything? Like, I remember
they just sort of inch around.
I remember it was like, you can train them and they'll be your pets and it's a magical kingdom. And
no,
it's
you
like,
can't.
Fuck.
They're just the little bugs.
It's the greatest kid scam.
Yeah. Since the Pet Rock.
Yeah.
Okay, Lisa.
What?
If you could sound like any singer, who would you want to sound like?
Amy Winehouse.
Really?
Yeah. And she's who I usually pick for a karaoke because like I can almost do it,
almost
but
do it.
Not really because nobody can. Like she's incredible.
Yeah.
What about you? I want to know your answer.
Eddie Vedder. No, I'm just kidding.
You got that ready to go. That was locked and loaded.
No, I mean, like probably like Aretha Franklin or something.
Yeah.
Or like that would be. Yeah.
Incredible. Or, Kelly Clarkson would be good too.
Kelly Clarkson would be good. Someone with like a fucking real crazy voice.
I would love to sound like the lead singer of Sublime.
Oh yeah. He's got a good voice.
He's got a good voice.
Yeah. And you've like really got your shit together. So with that combo.
Yeah.
That was his main downfall.
Yeah. He was a messy asshole. I'm sure. I don't really know anything about him.
I don't really either. We should have Chris Thayer back on the podcast.
I know. He told us everything. I'll just re-listen to that episode.
Yeah. That concludes One on Fun. We'll be right back with Wiki of the Week. We know everything.
Baby geniuses. Listen, we already know that you love genre movies, film craft, and female filmmakers. So if you love all those things, then by transitive property, you love my podcast, Switchblade Sisters. Hi, I'm film critic April Wolf. Every week, I have a conversation with a different female filmmaker about their favorite genre film. Each episode covers the filmmaking process, working in the film industry, and just like general geeking out about awesome movies. I've had such great guests like the Big Sick writer, Emily Gordon.
To me, indie movies as of late have come to be a catch-all term for a movie that kind of defies genre.
Billy Madison and Half-Baked director, Tamara Davis.
When a comedian comes and enters onto my set, they're just there to be funny, and we're all ready and waiting for them to be funny.
Horror industry veteran and actor, Barbara Crampton.
That's where real drama lies for me. What's between you and I speaking right now? Where are we meeting? And what's the energy that we create between us?
And so many others. So check out Switchblade Sisters every Thursday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Wiki of the Week. This week's Wikipedia page was sent to us by Dominic Elefante.
Dom Elefante.
Thank you for sending us. It's the Wikipedia page it's actually, is it a Wikipedia page?
Not technically.
It's the Wikipedia page for like Wikipedia long-term abuse.
Yeah. So these are users who have consistently abused the guidelines of Wikipedia to mess with Wikipedia. Kind of a meta thing to do today, but there's some good stuff on here.
Yeah.
So this page is not a notice board. To report vandalism, you have to use the administrator's vandalism notice board. So don't go to this page to do it.
No, this page just summarizes a limited number of long-term abusers to assist members of the community who believe they may have cause to report another incident.
This is kind of like when you have a store and someone is bad in your store and then you post up a little picture of them.
Being like, this person's not allowed in here.
Yeah.
Note that this page is not a notice board. Names should only be added for the most egregious and well-attested cases. Most users here will have been banned, some on multiple occasion.
So these aren't little petty crimes. These are like really the bad boys.
Yeah, the real America's most wanted.
Yeah.
So, okay.
In the vast majority of cases, deny recognition and revert, block, ignore are more suitable approaches. It's just like telling you how to deal with this, like conflict resolution.
Also, a term that they use a lot in these, just so you know, is called sock puppeting, where it's like you pretend to be someone else.
Yeah. You create an account for the purposes of deception on the internet.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that on Twitter. So, yeah, should we get into these people? The first one is Alex Smithson, who's a persistent cross-wiki hoaxer since 2014, globally locked in 2016 for long-term and extensive cross-wiki abuse, now edits using constantly shifting IPs, resolving to Milan, Italy, and surrounding towns. The primary focus is to promote obscure members of the Natalie family and to spuriously link them to various European nobility using fake or misrepresented references. Continues to create articles on the Natoli family and related subjects on all wikis, which still allow article creation by unregistered users. What is this person's problem with the Natoli family?
He doesn't have a problem with them. He's trying to connect them to royalty he's pretending that his family is royalty.
Right.
It's probably a member of the Natoli family. The primary focus is to promote obscure members of the Natoli family.
I wonder if he's doing this on other websites in addition to Wikipedia.
I love that. I love the idea of someone using Wikipedia to try and pretend their family's royalty.
I like that because royalty and nobility are bullshit to begin with. So
yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
Who gives a shit?
This person's great.
Can I read the one for Bambi Fan 101?
Yeah.
Focuses on Disney articles. Claims to be a young boy in the southern United States, possibly in the Mobile, Alabama area, with a professed love of juvenile-themed movies, usually Disney animated features and books.
I want to know what Bambi Fan 101's been doing to these articles.
I think we can probably find out.
Yeah. Is there like a link to their crimes?
User insists that all of the pages and talk pages on said subjects are wrong and subsequently tries to correct them. User becomes extremely vindictive and defensive when cornered, claiming that his parents are wealthy and will soon be buying Wikipedia. Edit summaries generally have snide comments as well. He seems primarily to be seeking attention, stating himself that he does this out of boredom. In one edit, he gave a name that traced back to a middle school in the same state as the IPs. This was sent offline. That's really funny.
Have you ever been any sort of troll online, like when you were younger?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean,
me and my brother did some trolling.
Really?
Yeah. I get it. I get why it's fun.
Yeah. God, there's so many of them. Some of them are funny and some of them aren't.
EMX on Wheels, also known as the Fuerdai Vandal, uses phrases like Fuerdai and on wheels.
Do you know what that means, Rob?
No. Usually targets pages related to Fuerdai, which is a Chinese term that refers to the children of the nouveau riche in China.
Okay.
It's a general label for anyone with rich parents enjoying a privileged upbringing as a result. Non-Chinese figures such as Fidel Castro and Donald Trump have been described by Chinese media as Fuerdai.
Oh, interesting.
This person's great. I love them. Boy Band Vandal. Blocked more than 30 times for disruptively adding categories such as boy band and girl group. Why do they keep doing it?
I don't know. Broadway hoaxer inserts hoaxes regarding upcoming Broadway shows, either new productions of the musical in question or a new role for the actress described. Always unsourced and never shows up in Google search.
Wow. There's like a whole long list of things that they've messed with. Oh boy, I love this.
I love this so much.
Brightify introduces false info in retail stores and Pacific Northwest places, especially hoax county and metro area changes, as well as children's media related pages. Okay.
David Beals inserts random images of ceiling fans into any articles and even links to videos of them. He also has a tendency to randomly thank certain Wikipedia users. At the same time, while on Commons, he will load a ventilator ceiling fan image over any medium or high use image that he targets.
That's fantastic. Color Wolf. A prolific Singaporean sock puppeteer known for deliberately inserting fake storylines into TV shows produced by MediaCorp, Singapore's national television broadcaster.
Oh, that's really funny.
Color Wolf is such a good name.
Yeah. Dog and Rapper Vandal. General disruption on articles relating to dogs and rappers.
Oh my God. Why?
Why? What? How?
They've made disruptive changes to the listed weight of dog breeds. They began to add unreferenced text to rapper biographies, various hip hop song articles, for instance, by changing the genre parameter or by changing the dates. They also spend time on simple English Wikipedia. Oh boy. Very good.
The Friends Vandal.
Oh.
Vandalism on articles related to the television show Friends persistently introduces factual errors regarding the relationship statuses of the characters. And then when you go to their page, it says the vandal tends to change the relationship status of the characters as of the end of the series. In particular, the vandal pairs Rachel Green and Chandler Bing, removing any mention of Chandler's marriage to Monica Geller. As well, Ross Geller and Emily Waltham are paired.
What? No!
This is reflected in oddly worded edit summaries referring to Rachel Bing or Emily Geller. The specific wording of the edit summaries is a major tell.
Do you think this person's just doing this for fun, or that they like extremely ship these relationships?
I think they extremely ship these relationships, but I've never heard of like anyone shipping Chandler and Rachel.
Their physical location is in Alabama. That's so odd.
So interesting.
Oh my God. Gabriella 436, who did long-term abuse of spamming and creating many nonsense redirects relating to Monster High. I just like these people are all like so obsessive about their thing.
The Hanoi Vandal frequently fabricates musical collaborations between targets of interest.
Are there examples?
Favorite targets of the Vandal include the following artists and or the works: The Carpenters, Elton John, The Eagles, John Miles, Eric Carmen, The Bee Gees, Gary Moore, Air Supply, a bunch of them. Yeah. Status, Vandal is active.
I'm impressed by how quickly these things tend to get corrected on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Like, you're not likely to find a lot of bad information on there. You can't trust it, though, obviously.
Yeah. You really can't. You should never listen to our podcast.
Definitely not. There's a lot of misinformation on here because we don't know what the fuck we're talking about. German reference desk troll frequents reference desks as an anonymous user and asks fairly difficult open-ended questions targeted to waste other people's time. Also creates a request creation of implausible redirects, usually with vulgar or double entendre meanings. That is so German.
Guatemalan IP date changing vandal frequently changes release dates for Latin albums and singles without citing a reliable source. What is the point of any of that?
Lightbringer, a stubborn user, has extremely POV and fringe beliefs regarding Freemasonry. He repeatedly edit wars through sock puppets to insert his beliefs into all Freemasonry related articles and steadfastly refuses to engage in discussions or negotiate his poorly sourced and often wildly incorrect edits. What is Freemasonry?
Oh, like the Masons.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The Illuminati.
Right, 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 right.
Yeah.
So that makes sense that he would be into that.
Messenger 2010. This user is the sock puppeteer of a huge number of sock puppets who claims they are part of a group of over 50 whose purpose is to spread mostly false anti-soybean propaganda through various articles on Wikipedia using strong-arm tactics and sock puppets to stop any other editors from disputing the statements.
Wow.
Favorite targets include articles on soy, soy protein, biological value, whey protein, PDCAAS, sodium dodecyl sulfate, and articles related to vegan dieting.
Wow. They're
like an anti-vegan.
That's rough because I feel like soy does have like positive and negative attributes.
Yeah.
That I Google often to stay abreast of.
Oh yeah. That's scary for you.
You can't really trust that shit online.
No.
Is coconut oil good for you or not? Nobody knows.
Nobody really knows. Well, we know that it's better than unsaturated fats, yeah, right?
Maybe. New Order Vandal, an IP hopping editor from Japan who primarily vandalizes New Order and 808 State related articles. They mostly engage in genre warring, extensive edit warring, opinion pushing, personal attacks, and spamming on talk pages. God.
Oh man. Snufferite. Modus operandi is hard to describe, but obvious when found. Fond of nonsense made up words such as balimp and various attempts at onomatopoeia.
I love this person.
Edits an extremely eclectic but relatively limited array of articles such as The Portsmouth Herald, Joel Gertner, Emilio Delgado, Bert, Sesame Street, Candlepin Bowling, Losing Myself, John Bowman. Only consistent area of focus is National Wrestling Federation and various wrestlers' articles, especially Andre the Giant. Vandalism is low volume but very persistent. Often gets verbally aggressive when discovered or reverted, but gives up fairly quickly until the next time.
I like how there's like advice on how to fight them. They give up earlier.
Yeah.
Seth Productions. Promotion of the films of non-notable British filmmaker Paul Easter.
Ooh.
They've made promotional in popular culture edits to the pages for Black Dog Ghosts in Popular Culture, Black Dog Ghost, and Black Shuck. So they're trying to say like, this is his films are part of pop culture.
Oh my God. Under Armour Kid vandalizes Aflac, Office Depot, Under Armour. Themes include 9/11, aviation, cyclones, moon landing conspiracies, Geometry Dash, NASCAR, Santiago, Chile. What the fuck?
Teenage fairy tale dropouts vandal. A frequent vandalizer, most of their edits involve adding false, unsourced, or dubious info about the children's TV program Teenage Fairy Tale Dropouts. They predominantly target the articles so fresh and so random, as well as the associated pages of these articles. Wow.
Wiki destruction vandal. British Wikipedia vandal who constantly vandalizes articles relying on now that's what I call music. A large number of different musical artists and some video game articles. User tends to identify the edits they reverse as good faith edits, despite often being constructive contributions to the article. The user occasionally pleads for other editors who repeatedly revert their non-constructive edits via summaries.
YouTube K promotes real estate developments such as new housing, schools, and shopping, and he has competency problems. It's like he does this, but he's really bad at it. Are any of these women?
I wonder. Wickinger adds false information related to the Greek alphabet and to its related minor characters. Such as Gunther.
Oh, they have abusive behavior and sock tricks. There's just like a whole list of their issues.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Nikita, persistent edits and edit requests related to certification and sales inflation of Green Day and the Who articles.
Oh my God. I think those were the main ones. There's just all kinds of little dudes in here.
Yeah. What are you doing, guys? I like it.
I do like it. Except the ones that are like abusive and that are, you know, don't believe in global warming, that kind of thing. That's not cool.
Some of them are people too who are just hired by companies to like promote their companies online,
which is so lame.
It's super lame.
Don't do that on Wikipedia.
I do like the ones who are just like, my family is royal. That's maybe my favorite.
That one's my favorite. I like the ones that are just like really, really obsessed with one thing and feel like ownership of it. I think the Friends one is my favorite.
Yeah. Wait. Oh, I found another one.
Because Rachel and Chandler is like the least sensical combination I could think of.
Yeah. They're not attracted to each other at all.
They barely speak to each other.
You know, is it because of the episode where Chandler saw Rachel's boobs?
Oh,
when
maybe.
He walked in on her in the shower.
That's right. But he just likes boobs.
Yeah. And he didn't make a big deal about it.
Yeah.
Wait. Okay. Joe Hazelton has been stalking user Gothian and other users since 2006 when he was involved in a conflict over the articles Peter Roskam and Tammy Duckworth. Recently, he has been nominating for deletion articles that user Gothian created. He generally edits, from a pro-Republican viewpoint, articles relating to the far west suburban Chicago politicians. He has a poor command of the English language and speaks Polish. If his efforts are undermined, he will appear to explode with childlike, semi-coherent rage, often riddled with obscenities and with references to homosexuality, Marxism, the Chicago outfit, Barack Obama, etc.
Okay, that guy sucks. That guy should leave.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The Friends ones are more fun, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, what a page.
Good one.
Thank you for sending that. That concludes Wiki of the Week.
We like tricksters and hoaxers in general.
We do. We are pro, I think, but also most of these are bad.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are, I think I just like people who do things for motives that I can't understand, of like, why would you want to change the release date of an album?
Yeah.
Why would you want to pretend there are Broadway musicals that don't exist?
Why are you spending your time on that?
Yeah.
What makes your brain click? Like, what's going on in there?
Who are you?
Just a teen.
It's time now for What Did I Learn?
What did I learn?
Lisa, what did you learn today?
Ooh, not much.
Nothing.
And that's okay.
All right.
What did you learn?
I learned that you want to sound like Amy Winehouse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't?
That's
want
something.
To? That's something. Yeah.
She sounds good.
She does. She's beautiful. We miss her.
I got to pee so bad, guys.
Oh, but I got to do butt pics.
Oh, yeah. Do butt pics.
Hey, guys. We got some butt pics. First one. My dog decided to sleep on my butt, and I tried to take a photo, but mostly got cool pics of my butt.
Yeah.
there's some crazy pics. here's someone who is debating to send one for a long time and they felt really confident about their butt and they were just listening to the podcast and here they go. And it's a really cute picture. They're taking of their butt in a mirror. Very cute thong. Here's a pale butt pic I sent to my boyfriend when he was on a trip to Japan. I meant to delete it right after I took it, but I thought my ass looked so good I couldn't help but hold on to it.
Hell yeah.
I look like a fucking Kardashian. Yes, you do. That's a great butt pic. And then someone else sent a picture of their butt in like soccer undies that say goal all over them. And then someone else, I just started listening to your podcast this week and you were both wonderful and hilarious people. Please enjoy this butt. Great butt. It's a picture of their butt with a Ouija board.
Yeah.
We like that spooky butt. And then someone said, these are underwear I made out of an old Pokemon t-shirt. They are much worse for wear, but I still fucking love them. Keep making awesome stuff, please. And indeed, they turned it
back at you.
Like, how did they turn an old t-shirt into underwear?
How do you do that?
It looks great.
Yeah.
I want to do that. And then,
I feel like if I tried to do that, it would just end up looking like a diaper.
God, yeah. Like everything, every item of clothing I tried to make for myself looks like a diaper. And then someone else said they make butt paintings that decorate their bathroom. I make my friends take butt selfies and then I paint them. I'm no artist, but these make me smile every day. And there's something I find truly hilarious about spending an afternoon calmly working on a painting of my friend's butt. I think you are an artist because these are really great butt paintings. What a fantastic way to decorate a bathroom. Thanks for all those pictures, guys. You can send your butt pics to babygeniusespodcast@gmail.com.
Rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
Yeah, please do. And then we'll shout you out if you leave a nice review.
Hell yeah.
Buy my book, Coyote Dog Girl. It's out in stores now. And I'm going to do some events in the Bay Area and New York. You can check my website or Drawn and Quarterly's website for details.
And goodbye. Yay.
Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything.
Fairhaven's a city in a bubble. An actual bubble. It keeps the monsters out. Most of them, anyway.
I never liked the look of movies on Blu-ray. For my money, Betamax is the superior format.
I'm thinking of deleting Facebook and going back to MySpace.
As far as beverages go, I'm just kind of over water.
Though I guess at any given party, you're gonna meet some dudes like that, even if you're not in the middle of a nightmarish wasteland. Bubble, the sci-fi comedy from MaximumFun.org. Just open your podcast app and search for Bubble.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.